it started really, I always look at it roughly around, if I have to get a pinpoint of a date, like 1993, 1994, where I think the first term urban agriculture came about. And why urban agriculture? When you start using the terms agriculture, you start looking at production, not gardening. Gardening is playing around with a plant here, playing around with this, and you got some food, but gardening is gardening. When we say urban agriculture, then we mean we're looking into production. We're trying to get as much food as possible. Back in the early days of community garden, the idea was everybody had their own plot, teach them how to grow things. They have stuff for their family. At that point, even though I was working in urban gardening, my thing was to get people to grow food. But the reality, what community gardens were doing was they were to bring back neighborhoods. And they were more of a social, the social factor was more than the growing factor. It was getting neighbors to get together to take over that empty, those vacant lots that existed that time in New York City. And the city was struggling then too, financially, also with crime, all kinds of stuff. So the community garden was more of a social building thing. While what I'm working in, I'm looking at food production. Time went on. As we got into the later 80s, there was a waning of community gardens. They all existed, but they had less participation. Once you had 30 people in there, now maybe you have 5, 10, in some cases only a few, because there'll always be one strong leader that chases everybody away, and they become small parks. So in the 90s, a transition came that the city's coming back to life. I mean, it's a great place to be. More gardens are being taken over for housing, which is fine, even though there's a lot of protests about it, but you need housing. You need that section, whatever it was, housing for middle income, low income. So a lot of the gardens disappeared, but still more started appearing. A lot were being abandoned, still existing, because no housing going on. But also at that time period, there was an interest in not community building, because that's already been done, but more so in healthy eating, meaning there was concerns about diabetes, the overweight stuff, just healthy eating, and where's our food coming from. This whole local food movement came about, starting in about early 90s, evolved into what the term we call urban agriculture. So some of these groups shifted from the old model of a community garden with 30, 40 people at their own spot. Now you basically grew crops with volunteers in blocks, like a farm field, but smaller scale. Oh, here's our block of corn. Here's our block of tomatoes. And everybody worked together, didn't have their own plot. And you could share the produce, or you did the next thing to keep people more involved. And that was, here we're doing it, just can't just do it for ourselves. We have to do this for our community. Meaning that, how do we get some of this food to our community right here? Because we don't have farmers markets. We don't have supermarkets. You know, we're like, that term food deserts came about, you know. And so how do we do that? Well, let's maybe set up a market stand that we can sell some of this. And we could get a couple more farmers here. If we could get representative farmers, maybe we could start accepting farmers market nutrition coupons, you know, for WIC participants, a $20 coupon. You need 3 farmers. So how do we do that? Well, let's find some green market farmers, somebody who want to drop off their food here. We'll represent selling it. Be more produce, because we can't grow enough in the urban site, but we'll have enough produce to get people to come here and make it one of the sites where they can redeem their checks, and a nonprofit there would be able to take them and deposit them and use for the program. So you had the start of maybe a little market garden, a farmer's market at the site, and then expand out to a CSA. A CSA means, you know, you need more produce, so maybe one of these farmers who are coming into the city maybe want to be our CSA. Like, we'll drop off a bunch of food, and we'll develop the members. And all you got to do is drop off the food, and we'll distribute it in your name, and we're getting good food. So these community gardens now became urban ag sites that serving the neighborhood, not just the gardeners, but serving the community. Like, we got food here. We're on Saturdays. We got you know, a market you could come buy food. It's not just ours, but it's other farmers, local farmers from upstate that are at the markets can drop off. And so when we look at urban agriculture, my term urban agriculture is not just growing food in an urban area, it's also making the connection between a rural farmer who gets involved in urban agriculture. He buys into that community. He's supplying food, which benefits him and also benefits the people that are buying his food or using his food. So urban agriculture is kind of a two-way street. Interesting enough with these community gardens that at times, you'd only find people there in the evenings and occasionally a weekend. Summertime, you never find anybody in the gardens except the evenings. Now these community gardens become urban agriculture hubs, and they're kind of busy like 8 days a week. There was always Saturday activities, mostly volunteer days, sometimes Sundays for workshops. So they become very active community centers without anybody having their own spot, but everybody's welcome to help grow and for the cause. So the transition came about in the 90s, and as we get into the 2000s, particularly after 9/11, the interest grew more because in the city we saw a cutoff of food. Like all of a sudden, Chinatown, some stores had to close for a while because they couldn't get trucks in with food because the city was shut off for a couple of weeks. So everybody saw the food accessibility problem, that if something ever happened, you know, hey, we ain't got food. So therefore, you had more urban ag sites starting, hence what you saw with the added value site and some of these other sites that people are concerned about food security.
So you've covered a broad swath of history of urban growing. What are the challenges of urban agriculture? Does it even have a role in the commercial food system?
Well, not really, but you're not competing with anybody else, no stores or anything like that. It involves marketing. You always want to get a CSA going because that guarantees you some money. And also, if you had to pay people to work in the thing, and also if you're selling the farmers, you're representing him, you're still making some profit off of it. But you're not really competing with any stores. There's still not a competition in the city with gardening, selling food, because there's still not real good food access in the city. You have Whole Foods, Fairways, but that's higher priced stuff. You know, you don't have... The best thing ever that happened in New York City is in the late 70s when the Korean grocers came in and set up vegetable shops in, you know, like places where nobody else would, making at least some vegetables there. There's never a shortage of, or competition-wise, as far as food. And also the interest, people who are buying this stuff, they're not looking for the 59-cent collards, you know, they're looking for a quality one. You know, the 59-cent collard grower buyers are not coming to these markets. There are the other people interested in good quality food for, like I was saying before, the health reasons. And the farmers, local upstate farmers, can supply this. So it's kind of a win-win situation on both ends. The farmer, small farmer, all these new farms starting, they got an instant market, and people taking care of it. And the folks in that community have the access to good food, which also involves into other programs, whether from cooking programs, whatever goes around. And you'd be amazed what goes around on some of these gardens now that have become urban agriculture sites. I kind of don't pay attention anymore because I retired. But I see what's going on. It's very exciting. I feel very kind of blessed to be part of the beginnings of it all, too. It feels good. You know, that something that we did before has gotten to this point.
And where do you see it headed?
Where in the city, there's always going to be open sites that can grow. There's always people still now looking, just like people are looking to land a farm in the city, too. People are looking for land that they could do an urban ag program because they want to do a small scale type thing, not a large farm. But from this, which is interesting, is we are getting some people actually go into farming. Go out of the city, start 5 acres, rent somewhere to actually get into mainline farming, which is kind of there's one thing is that, like, when someone says when you go into business, you gotta have a business plan before you go into business, before you start marketing cups or whatever. I go with agriculture, you don't need a business plan. You know, if you grow the stuff, the business plan's there. You just gotta follow it. You got CSAs, you got direct marketing, you got various outlets, and you can never do enough of them. So the plan is there. Then you just have to do the marketing. So therefore, the increase of small farms is on the upscale. And we have lots of nice land out within a range of New York City that is underutilized right now. Even on the Muxos, there's a lot of land that's not being produced on. It's just kind of laying fallow because the onion market went down. But there's land. I mean, so ideally what we're coming out of this is more urban farmers becoming mainstream farmers, going upstate, getting some land, doing something, just produce food. You know, like for the whole reasons of the food security stuff, if we have problems in the future, with like we couldn't get food into Chinatown. And it was like, they can't do that. You can't do anything. And that we got this food available locally, which back in the 50s and 60s really didn't exist. You know, all our foods, well, in the 60s and 70s, all our foods, they always told you to travel from like 1300, whatever it is, most of our fresh vegetables came from far away. Now we have the ability to grow local, and local also means in urban areas.